Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. This is Family of Faith, a podcast for Faith Bible, by Faith Bible. And we are really, I am really, really excited today because we have with us Pastor Nathan Theory. Nathan Theory is the pastor of youth here at Faith Bible, and he's a good friend. Thanks, Nathan, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I've been really excited. You've been at the top of my list, so I'm glad we're able to get in here today and record a podcast with you. Today, we're talking about something that really is foundational. It's foundational to every area of your life. We're going to talk how it specifically applies to how we do family, marriage, and parenting specifically, and that is idols in our heart or idolatry in our heart. Nathan, explain, you know, when I say idolatry, obviously, we're assuming people understand we're not talking about little Buddhas that we put in our house or idols that we, shrines that we build in our house. We're talking about idols of the heart. Explain what that is. What do we mean when we say idols or idolatry in the heart?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. We're not talking about having a shrine and then putting it in your closet or your shelf. We're talking about when you think something else is more valuable, more beautiful, more wonderful, worth trusting in than Christ. So we all know that God wants us to have him first. We don't want to have any other gods before him. And he wants us to love him with all of our heart. And so an idol in my heart is anything that I'm loving more than I love God, something that I'm seeing as more valuable than him. It's typically myself. We see self often as more valuable, more important, more reliable than God. And we oftentimes wouldn't explicitly think, oh, I'm more important than God, but the way we act shows that that's really what I'm believing. A lot of times related to that, I want something more than I want to please God or to obey God or to trust in God. So it's a whole issue of what am I worshiping? So idols of the heart are things I worship instead of Christ, things that I'm trusting in instead of Christ, things I'm loving more than Christ. And it's really about wrong thinking and wrong wanting.
Yeah, and I think idolatry too, we have come to think of idols, spiritual idols as, you know, money or sports, or career. These things are what we usually refer to when we talk about idols. But it even goes deeper than that, right? Why, mm-hmm. why do I love money so much? Or why do I love sports so much? Why do I put such an emphasis on my career or whatever it is? It goes even deeper than some of the things we typically label as idols. It's really a matter of the heart. What am I wanting? What am I desiring? What am I using money for that it's so central to what I love and what I crave, what I desire? And really, and you just said it, it's actually just about me and exalting mm-hmm. me, putting myself in a place that only God deserves to be. So,
yeah, I think it's helpful to think about the opposite of idols of the heart is what does God really want? What is he after? He wants me to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And so it's not just about taking this list of things that our culture or our churches tell right. us are bad.
There you go.
And just getting them out of our life and being a monk. It's about, do I love Christ with all my heart?
Yeah.
And are there good things in my life that I'm putting before him? And are they keeping me from loving him with all my heart? And really, how do I love him with all of who I am?
So. Right, right. So now that we've kind of clarified what it is, and we assume that most of our people here at Faith Bible understand what it is, but Nathan, why are you so passionate about this? How have you seen this really display itself in your life? Why is this something so important to you?
Yeah, it's really been helpful in the last few years understanding this better. For years, I would struggle with being really angry, sinning against my kids when they're fighting. Like, say my two oldest boys are fighting over a toy. I would get really angry, vent my anger towards them with yelling or scolding or disciplining them in a way that wasn't loving or helpful. And I would ask for prayer. I want to grow and be more patient with my kids. But I never really identified the root problem or the cause of why I was getting angry and sinning against them. Or I would struggle with my wife telling me how to cut up onions or cut lettuce or giving me advice on the best way to drive a certain way. And she's trying to be helpful. She's trying to be my helper. She's trying to be my wife and be kind to me. But I'm taking it as something else that's not what she's giving. And so I'm being defensive and sinning against her with being argumentative, trying to be right, or even struggling with praying enough, struggling with sharing the gospel, struggling with having the desire to read the Bible that I should have. All these hard issues and knowing what I should be doing, but not really understanding very well or dealing with very well the issues in my heart that were causing me to sin in those ways. And so hearing people like Ted Tripp and Shepherding Your Child's Heart, or Paul Tripp and all the books he's written, or a lot of the New Growth Press stuff that's come out, just talking about heart idols and how those are connected to what we do, that was really helpful for me. Like, for example, there's this shark illustration.
They talk about
how, like, you being angry and yelling at your kids is the fin, or being defensive with your wife, that's the fin. But beneath the water, what you can't see is the shark. And that shark is the heart idol, the wrong thinking and the wrong believing that's causing you to do that sin behavior. And so I've been really helped, and I keep forgetting it, and then I re-remember again. And so that's why I'm excited to talk about this today, because I need to remember more. There's these heart idols I'm dealing with I need to kill so that I can be loving my wife and loving my kids and loving Christ in these situations.
Yeah. I think the shark illustration is really, really easy and accessible. You know, you always see the fin above the water. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, we know that fin in a movie or whatever, when you see a fin, that's a problem. But not because the fin only represents what's under the water, what's there lurking. And I think when we deal with sin, we have a tendency just to look at the surface, to look at the fin above the water, as that's the actual problem. It's not. It represents what's under the surface, what the real problem is. And we need to start seeing our actions and our responses and our behavior in that way. If we continually try to address what's above the water, we're never going to actually fix or solve the problem.
Yeah, it really goes back to my thinking. What am I thinking?
Right.
And a lot of times I'm not thinking the right thing. I'm not believing what the Bible says. I'm not seeing God as I should see him. I have these idols in my heart that I'm trusting in, I'm hoping in, I'm loving. And those are the cause. Like with my kids fighting, I've had to realize I'm loving comfort and ease. I want things at my house to be really easy. And I need to repent of that idol of things being comfortable and easy and wanting that more than I want God's glory or my kids to know Christ or me to glorify Christ. I need to love Christ more than my own comfort and ease.
So do this for us. I think this would be helpful. Walk us through a scenario, okay? Fictitious or not. All right. Walk us through a scenario where you're parenting your boys and something has happened and you walk in and just show us what that looks like and then lead us then in how to assess what's going on in your heart.
Yeah. So imagine I'm coming into the TV room and we're going to watch some Little House on the Prairie because we enjoy watching Little House on the Prairie. And I walk into the room and there's just dishes everywhere. There's blankets on the floor. There's toys all over the place. And I get angry. And so I start, I'm not yelling really loudly, but just kind of scolding, kind of I'm angry in my heart at my kids about this issue of the room being a little bit of a mess. And so in that moment, then I start to feel guilty. I start to feel convicted. I'm not really speaking to them the way I should. And I could quickly think it's my kids' fault. If they would do a better job of taking care of their stuff and being responsible, they're becoming older. They need to be able to take care of their stuff. I start blaming them. I can think it's all their fault. But really, if I look at what I'm wanting in that moment, I'm wanting everything to be just how I want it to be. I'm making an idol out of the room being just so, the way that I in my own kingdom would want it to be. And so then I sin against them because I want that thing more than I want what's best for them. So I can assess that by thinking about, what do I want in that moment? Am I wanting them to know Christ? Am I wanting to love Christ? Am I wanting to help my kids be grown up in the Lord the way that they should? Am I wanting to teach them to be responsible in a way that's helpful for them? Or am I just thinking about myself? Typically the heart idol is something to do with myself. And so I'm loving myself more than anything else. And that's why I got angry in that moment. So I need to repent of that. I have to tell my kids I was wrong to speak to you the way that I did. I was being idolatrous, wanting things to be easier the way I want them to be. And then I ask them to forgive me. And what I should do instead is I should pick it up myself, or I should talk to them kindly and say, hey, let's pick up the room before we watch Little House on the Prairie or whatever. But I should be loving Christ more than I'm loving myself in that moment.
Yeah. The definition of anger that I read recently, I believe it was in the book Uprooting Anger, by Jones. He says anger is a whole person response or whole body response to a perceived evil. When we're angry, we have a perceived evil that we're attacking. And in you know, your boy's not picking up the room. What is the evil that you've perceived? Well, it's not that they've left the room dirty, right?
No.
Right? What's the perceived evil? They have not done what I want. Things are not the way I think they should be. And that's why our response is anger. That's our why our response is attacking the perceived evil, and not instead helping them or shepherding them. If we really want them to be responsible and good stewards of what they have, if that's our real motivation, if our motivation truly is Christ exalting, then our response to them would be kind, instructive, compassionate, desirous of them, right? To see their need to be good stewards instead of anger and wanting our own way. So
yeah, and it really goes back to who am I seeing as most valuable, most important in my mind? Yeah. When I walk in the door at home, a lot of times all day long, my job as a pastor, I'm studying God's word, I'm talking to people about God's word, and it's really easy to be thinking about Christ as the most important one in the equation. When I get home, a lot of times I can switch into a mindset of, I'm the most important one. Now it's time for me to relax. It's time for me to have things go the way I want them to go. This is my kingdom now. I get to have things. I get to be the one in charge now and the one who it's all about. So I need to walk in the door having repented of that mindset already, thinking, this is about serving my family with Christ's help so they can know Christ. And my goal here is to shepherd my kids. So anytime they sin or have some issue that needs shepherding, I should be excited because I get to help them. But that only happens when I see Christ as the most valuable in my heart and I'm worshiping him.
Yeah. Give us some practical, when we look at our hearts, how can we assess what the idols of our heart really are?
Yeah, the biblical counseling training talks about you do what you do because you want what you want. And then a lot of times they talk about you want what you want because you think what you think. And you think what you think because you believe what you believe. So if you work that back, I'm in this moment I'm doing something. I'm arguing with my wife about the lettuce or about how many different plates we need to have or how many different dishes we need to have served when people come over or some silly thing. So that's the behavior, or I'm yelling at my kids. What is it that I'm wanting in that moment? So I need to ask that, what am I wanting? And a lot of times what I'm wanting is, like you were talking about, my own glory, my own kingdom, things to go the way I want them to go. I'm wanting to be the one in charge. Or I want to be independent. I don't want to have to depend on Christ in that moment. And a lot of times I'm wanting that stuff because I'm thinking what I'm thinking. What am I thinking? I'm thinking I'm more important. I'm thinking this is all about me. I need to change to thinking that it's about Christ. So I evaluate, what am I wanting? What am I loving? What am I trusting in? What am I thinking? Which ultimately goes back to what I'm believing from God's word. And so it's really a matter of evaluating what I'm thinking in that moment, what I want. And is that really Christ that I'm wanting and loving in that moment?
This is really important. We want parents to be able to assess their own hearts. I think if we're ever gonna have a hope of parents counseling their children or helping their children assess their hearts, parents have got to first be able to assess their hearts and the idolatry really that is present there. So as we assess what's going on in our own hearts, as we get parents to be able to assess themselves, then they have a platform to be able to speak into others' lives or help others assess what's going on in their hearts. So that's really, really helpful and really important.
And I love how you said that we need to assess ourselves first. This isn't primarily something I do to help my wife or to help my kids or to help the person I'm discipling. I need to start with myself. And there maybe need to be some conversations I have with men that are discipling me, men that I meet with, that we encourage each other to help them, to let them help me think about what is it that I'm worshiping instead of Christ in these situations. And if I see a recurrent situation coming up where I'm sinning in a certain way, I probably need to get some other people to speak into that situation and help me to see what is it that I'm loving more? Where is my thinking broken down and wrong? How do I need to see the situation differently and love Christ in that situation? And my wife sometimes has good insight on that too. I can ask her, what does she think? And just get other people's input into my thinking in that. And then as I grow in that and evaluating that, I can help other people too.
I'm really good at assessing other people's hearts. Like I can, Nathan, if you want me to assess your heart, I can
Sounds
assess
great,
your heart.
Yeah. We should put something on the calendar for that.
But I really stink at assessing my own heart, you know? Mm. And that's the nature of pride and sin. Is the blindness that comes along with it. I really struggle seeing my own heart. I am really good at seeing others' hearts. And I think this is Matthew 7 to a degree. You know, scripture tells us to judge ourselves before we go to judge others. You know, that text doesn't tell us don't judge others, as sometimes we think it does. It's saying judge yourself before you look into the matters of others. And that's what we need. If I'm going to help my wife, if I'm going to help my kids, I've got to first look and take the beam, the huge telephone pole sticking out of my eye, You know, if I'm going to ever help my wife and my kids see their own heart mm-hmm. and the idols that are there. So how do we topple the Dagons in our heart? You know, yeah. if you don't know who Dagon is, you should be doing your growth group guides because we just went over that story. So how do you topple the Dagon, the idol that's in your heart? How do you solve that and topple that?
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful to identify the idol, but we need to replace it. And yeah. the key is seeing who Christ is, seeing how glorious he is, how good he is, how satisfying he is to my soul. When I'm thinking that my wife, thinking that everything I do is perfect, is what's going to satisfy my soul, and I'm really wanting her to worship me, the problem is I'm not seeing how satisfying Christ is. I need to replace that thinking that I need to find satisfaction in myself and being worshiped. Replace that with looking at how glorious Christ is. And so it really is easy. It's helpful to start with the gospel of thinking about, I just was sinning in this way, committing idolatry in this way. I need to repent of that. And I can look to Christ who died for that idolatry. He was crucified, nailed to the cross and suffered for that sin. So that's a great place to start and to start worshiping him for that and thanking him for who he is as my savior. And a lot of times I'm wanting to live independent. I want to parent somehow in my own resources. And it's seeing that the truth that Christ is my sufficiency, and I wasn't designed to live independent from God. I'm not designed to live separate from him. I'm a branch in the vine. I have to be connected to him. And so he designed every single task in my life as a follower of Christ to be independence on him. And so seeing that and the wonderfulness of that, of how he designed that relationship and accepting that, remembering that, it's really helpful. But for me, I've got a daily look at who God is in his word. And then throughout the day, I need to remember, I need to meditate on scripture throughout the day. I need to go back. I mean, I could have a great quiet time and 10 minutes later, I'm sitting against my family. I'm forgetting. I need to keep looking at who God is. And like Dan Jarm says, we're all leaky buckets. We have holes in our buckets. We need to keep filling that bucket up with knowledge of God through his word and fellowship with other believers and songs and all that stuff I need to help me see Christ. It's about seeing him as bigger than myself. Because these hard idols come when I see myself as bigger, more important, sufficient apart from Christ. I need to see Christ as the best, the biggest, the most glorious. And it's really about worshiping him and seeing him for who he is.
Yeah, I'm going to jump off something you said right there at the beginning. I think there's a lot of guys that live thinking their wife wants them to be perfect. It may or may not be a false or a unrealistic expectation. But when we live with the gospel in view, then it really doesn't matter what my wife expects of me. What matters is what Christ has done and who I am in Christ. And I'm going to live in a way towards her that has that in mind, with Christ as my satisfaction and Christ as my greatest treasure. And it's just amazing how freeing that is. And you don't have to live with that unrealistic expectation over your head.
Yeah, what you're saying makes me think about a word picture, like a little kid, and you take a 2-year-old or 3-year-old, they have their lollipop. Yeah. And that lollipop is their happiness. You know, they think that lollipop is everything. You take that lollipop away, what are they going to do? They're going to cry. Some other kid steals it out of their hands or it falls in the dirt. They're going to be really sad because that was everything. They're devastated. And we a lot of times have these false lollipops. We think this is going to make me yeah. happy. If I have my wife thinking I'm amazing, or if everything in my house is peaceful and everything goes as just like I want it to go, that's going to make me okay. I think that's my source of happiness. But when I see that Christ is the one, if I'm holding on to that's him, yeah. he's my source of joy and happiness, then I can have or not have everyone else's approval, or have or not have things going the way I want them to go. And I can still be okay because I'm holding on to Christ. So I've got to see him as who he really is in my life, yeah. like you're saying.
Yeah. There's a really great resource in our bookstore by Milton Vincent, I think, is who wrote that. The Gospel Primer, mm-hmm. Or if you pronounce it primer. I don't know. I always pronounce it primer.
Gospel. Depends on if you're painting or not.
The Gospel Primer. And it just has the gospel truths, all put in one place. So you can just go through it every day. I would recommend that to anybody, just, you know, to take it and every day just go through gospel truths and see how satisfying, remind yourself how satisfying Christ is, how ultimate he is, and ultimately worthy and valuable. And place your meaning and satisfaction and enjoyment there, not on anything else, not on anything or anyone, else. And that will radically transform your parenting. It will radically transform your marriage. It will radically transform your career. It will radically transform everything if the gospel is what is ultimately satisfying, Christ and who he is. So,
yeah, and I would say that every time you start to blame somebody else for your sin,
yeah,
that's a key indicator. There's something going on in my heart. Like Jesus said in Mark 7, there's these things coming out of our hearts that defile us. And there's something in your heart that is an idol at that point. You're loving, you're cherishing more than Christ. And so, and every time I want to blame someone else for my sin, I should think and look back. No, there's a heart issue here that I need to repent of. I need to put that aside. I need to topple the Dagon and look at Christ as better. And once I deal with my own heart that way and I'm looking at Christ and trusting in the gospel, I can move forward and maybe help someone else work on their heart issues, like my kids, ideally. But I need to deal with my own sin first.
Well, thanks, Nathan. This has been helpful, and I hope it's been helpful to those listening. I'm going to add something here just because it's Nathan, and I know this is something that he is passionate about. Why don't people evangelize, man? Why don't people evangelize the way they should? You know, as it relates to this this issue of idolatry. I think sometimes people say, "Well, I've not been given the gift of evangelism, or I don't have the personality to get out there and evangelize." Mm-hmm. Is that really the issue, or is there something else going on?
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue. I think we can use that as an excuse, but there may be people that are, their personalities are more prone to being really outgoing, but that's not the key issue. The key issue I think is this one. I'm seeing that I'm more important than this person knowing Christ. So why do I not go into the gas station or the grocery store or to my neighbor's house and think about wanting to share the gospel with them? At that point, I'm considering myself more important. I'm considering my own comfort, my own ease, my own reputation more important than who God is. If I'm seeing myself in light of God in the equation there, I'm gonna wanna talk about who he is, what he's done. I'm gonna wanna move that person towards knowing Christ in whatever way I can, in whatever way God allows me to do. And so, yeah, I think it's a huge issue. For me, I need to repent of that daily.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to think, this is my life, it's about me being comfortable, things going easy, and I need to repent of that. I think there's a person here with me, God and the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they want to make themselves known through my life, through our lives as a church. And so, yeah, we should be seeking opportunities to share the gospel because we're with God and we're remembering him as bigger and more important than ourselves.
Yeah. Again, I return to what you said earlier about reading Bible, praying, and all those things. The issue is really idolatry. We're not evangelists. We're not actively seeking to evangelize or give others the good news of Christ because of our idolatry. I think that to what you were saying earlier is, you know, people say, well, I need to be a better evangelist, or, you know, people think, well, we need to create workshops to teach people how to share their faith. I'm not saying none of that's relevant, but
that's not the key issue though. People make a way to share the gospel if their hearts are there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of where's my heart at.
Yeah, it really is. And if Christ is your greatest treasure,
you're going to want to talk about
it. You're going to want to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to want to share that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the issue is Christ being where he needs to be. So this is how it applies to every area of life and of Christian experience. So really, really important stuff. I thank you, Nathan, for coming in and talking. And hopefully we'll see you again on the podcast soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, man. If you would like to email us questions, we'd love to hear from you. And again, use those questions to build future podcasts. If you have any questions, please send them to info@fbchurch.org. And we would love to hear from you.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.